Our scripture text this morning is taken from the first epistle of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. And you have a green bulletin insert that has some sermon notes, if you want to turn to that there. It's on, our scripture text this morning is on page number 1887 in your pew Bibles. And we're going to be looking at these verses, kind of breaking them down and digesting those for our benefit and for God's glory. So please look with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope is in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As we continue on in the themes of the beginning of the year, as we have been talking the last couple weeks about starting the year on the right foot. Last week we talked about how we might set our resolve and our resolutions based on Scripture, and I challenged you with that last week. One of the basic central things of Christian living is a life of holiness. And question this morning is, how do you determine the level of holiness in your personal life? How do you assess how you have been growing over the last year, looking back, taking stock on what has been going on in your life spiritually? And as you set goals and resolutions, resolves for your spiritual life moving forward, holiness is at the heart of that. How do you assess the measure of holiness in your life? Saintliness? This last week I had my annual physical checkup, and physical health assessments include body temperature and blood pressure, but a thermometer in one's mouth can't determine your level of sanctification as you seek to decide this. The measure of your height or your weight, inches on a rule, pounds on a scale, but you can't find a scale that will help you determine, well, I think I grew a little bit last year spiritually. I hope so. Even the measure of educational growth can be assessed by tests like basic skills. I don't know, what do they use nowadays? Iowas or these tests, the SATs. My daughter is getting ready to take the GRE exam for graduate school. But how do you measure how you've been growing as you look back and assess your spiritual growth? The quality and degree of holiness. Holiness is not to be measured by a list of do's and don'ts, particular don'ts, a list of taboos, as was thought back a few generations ago, right? When people talked about personal holiness, they said things like, well, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls who do. That is an indicator, right? You've ever heard that? Or you look at people and say, well, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't do drugs, curse or swear, gamble, dance, play cards, go to the movies, especially on Sunday. There's this long list of don'ts that used to be associated with Christian personal holiness. But it's really not determined in negative terms, as we will see from this passage. Also, personal holiness cannot be assessed or measured by outward appearances, a style of dress, the length of hair. Back when I was growing up, if boys had hair over their collars, they were obviously not Christian or not holy, right? Back in the day. So I wore my hair up in an afro so it wouldn't, well, anyhow. Jesus didn't say they'll know you are Christians by your clothes, right? The Amish or the Mennonites can be identified with their style of dress and the outward appearance, but really that's not the point. As we look at this measure of holiness, is it from the inside out or the outside in? I would suggest to you, as you examine yourself, you examine where you've been in your life of holiness and striving to grow in sanctification, for that's what sanctified is all about, holiness. It's not a matter of external conformity to cosmetic appearances, but more concerned with internal, spiritual, character and personal integrity. Remember how Jesus confronted the Pharisees. The Pharisees were fanatical at their law-keeping, at their seeking to abide by the written code of Old Testament law. And that produced an attitude that was less than holy. It was holier than thou, self-righteous. And Jesus said, he called them a brood of vipers, a bunch of snakes. He described them as blind guides, whitewashed tombs, bright and shiny on the outside. They looked good, they looked the part, but dead and smelly on the inside, like whitewashed sepulchers. I've said over and over again that holiness for us today is of critical importance. Holy living is one of the biggest challenges in an ever-secularizing culture. As the culture moves away from God, tries to take God out of everything in this world, we need to move toward God and to be different in the world but not of the world. And so, again, let me read verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Holiness in life should be our highest priority. And in the beginning of 2019, take inventory. Take stock. Where you've been, where you're growing. Re-up. Make a covenant with God. I'm going to seek you wholeheartedly. And In this passage, I believe the measure of holiness can be seen with four commands that Peter gives to the church in the first century, and they carry down to us in the year 2019. Four markers, four measurements, four assessments or calibrations to examine our holiness. First of all, he says we need to have an alert mind. I love it when a sermon involves being able to say, wake up, be alert, be alive, tune in, prepare your minds for action. That's a curious statement, isn't it? When we think of preparing for action, we think of physical preparations. You might make physical preparations to work out, to go and compete in some kind of game. A regimen of stretching and warm-up, dressing for a game or for a race, the appropriate apparel, and get ready, get set, and go. Before you go, you got to get ready and get set, right? And just this, a week ago, I was with the Boy Scouts in our local Troop 33. We had three Eagle Scouts receiving their highest scouting medal this last week. And you know the Boy Scout motto, the Girl Scout motto also, I believe, is be prepared. Prepare yourself for any and every circumstance. And also in the scouting, the scout laws, the scout oath, keep yourself mentally, physically fit, mentally awake, and morally straight. There is that idea that we need to be ready so that our actions can be set. Holiness starts with mental alertness, a mental state of readiness. It's interesting, conjoining the mind and the action. Prepare your minds to think, to concentrate, so that what happens in your behavior is reflected by that. The King James Version of this command says, gird up the loins of your minds. Gird up the loins of your minds. In other words, there's a word picture. Hike up the long flowing robes so that you can run. Back in Jesus' day, those men, particularly wearing long flowing robes, couldn't run, just like we can't swim or do anything really active if we're covered from head to foot with long flowing robes unless we are girded up, as they used to say. Holy behavior begins with holy thinking, with minds renewed, the renewing of your minds. Remember the great verse on holiness. Says, I plead with you, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It starts with your minds renewed. This nonconformity to this world, holy conduct, is initiated by holy convictions as we are transformed from the inside out. Conversion of our conversations and so forth. We're going to be talking about how we speak and relate to one another, especially in this world where there's so much bitterness and bitter divisiveness. The conversion of conversation to holiness starts with the conversion of our consciences from within. Mental discipline, intentional thinking. We have a generation of lazy thinkers that just watch what's happening on TV, looking at video games, just going along with an experience around us. And so when we come to act, you ever have anybody ask, what were you thinking? I can still hear my mother saying that. What were you thinking, Alan? Well, the problem, of course, was I wasn't thinking, right? But the Bible says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. And that's a deliberate, intentional discipline, right? The idea of disciplined, intentional is the framework for discipleship. And that brings us to our second measure of holiness. We need to have our minds prepared for action. We also need a controlled temperament. How can you measure God's work in your life? Look to see if you're growing in self-control, a self-controlled temperament. Peter, of all people, is writing this. Peter wasn't known for self-control and the Bible times at first until the Holy Spirit came upon him, but still his personality was somewhat impulsive, known for jumping right in there. He had the typical foot in mouth syndrome. Anything that came to mind, barely came to mind, he would blurt out. One minute he was confessing Christ, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The next minute, Jesus was saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter was the first to jump out of the boat to walk on the water. Peter, there in the upper room with the foot washing affair in the upper room. "Not me, Lord." Whoa, hold on, Peter. "If I don't wash you, you won't have any part in me." In Jesus' garden arrest, remember it was Peter who went to amputate Malchus's ear, the high priest's servant. He cut off the ear, and Jesus had to rebuke him. "Those who live by the sword will die by the sword." In the palace courtyard, in Christ's time of Christ's trial, Peter had the 3-point denial. "I never knew him. I don't know who you're talking about." Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit abiding within us and a measure of discipline. We need disciplined obedience, avoiding temptation and sin. Disciplined obedience. We need diligent service, the measure of holiness in the long run, for the long term. Persevering in serving God, the church that Peter was writing to was under pressure to bail on Jesus because of all the persecution. The Romans, the Jews, everyone was out to persecute and obliterate this new cult of Christianity. Peter's saying, "Hang in there, stay the course, be diligent, disciplined, and self-controlled." When the going gets tough, we keep going. Well, self-controlled temperament is a measure of holiness, and so is faith-filled priorities as we look at these verses. Hopes set on heavenly graces. Peter says, "Set your hopes fully on the grace that is to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." As we set goals and priorities for this year, as we continue to take stock in where we've come and where we are going, do we do so with a view to heavenly rewards, or are we looking for earthly goals motivated by instant gratification? We need to put our stock in the things for which we hope. "I can't wait." Well, we have to wait. And we have a great hope for which we wait. Our present pleasures are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Deal with delayed gratification with our future hopes. And that has to do with holiness in our lives as we're motivated with a view to what's coming and the rewards that we will be receiving from Christ as He commends us. "Well done, good and faithful servant." You remember the Old Testament Hall of Fame. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have biblical heroes such as Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Noah, Moses, and David. And they were all looking for a better time and a better place, a city not made with human hands. Listen as I read from that great chapter in Hebrews chapter 11 about all these who live by faith in the future rewards in heaven, heavenly glory. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, we read that all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Do you feel like you don't belong here on this earth? That you're only visiting this planet? Christians, citizenship is in heaven. People who say things that show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they're longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. We have a great hope. We have a marvelous expectation of glorious rewards. And that's what should motivate us to be holy as He is holy. How do you evaluate your present priorities? Measure personal holiness? You evaluate it by what motivates and moves you. The present, here and now, or the future, there and then. Well, one more measurement, calibration, assessment, and that is your relationships. Peter says your loving relationships are how you define the measure of holiness in your life. Loving relationships, authentic fellowship. Verse 22, as I read, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, purifying yourselves, being made holy by obeying the church so that you have a sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. I love this verse. Love one another deeply from the heart. Not typical, superficial, surface level, inauthentic friendships. Rather true, godly caring for one another. A sincere love. Love one another deeply from the heart as you care for each other, as you pray for each other. Looking not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Placing others' interests before your own, as Paul writes in Philippians. Have the same mind in you. Have the same attitude. In other words, be like Jesus. There's the measure of holiness. It's all about love. Holy love. John Wesley, the founder of United Methodism, was famous for saying that his motto, his driving goal, his mission statement was to spread scriptural holiness throughout the land, in England and then in the Americas. Holiness was the passion upon which Methodism was started and continues down to today. And holiness, according to John Wesley, was all about love, first to last. Remembering the greatest commandment. Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing? What's the greatest commandment, Lord, in all of the law? And Jesus said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' new commandment. Build on that. Love one another just as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and love comes from God, for God is love. Let us love one another. The measure of holiness is not hairstyles or fashions of clothes, outward appearance, but by love. God's holy love shed abroad in our heart towards one another. As we move forward in these coming weeks, my sermon series are going to be on patience and forgiveness with one another, the expression of holy love, speaking the truth in love, our conversations with each other, how we build one another up instead of tearing one another down. Peter closes this out in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, "And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." Every time I turn on the TV, every time I turn on the news, whatever news channel it is, all I hear is malice and slander, and it wears me out. The Bible commands us to be holy, to be different, to be separate from all of that. Be holy in all that you do, not just on Sundays or holidays, holy days, right? 24/7, 365 days a year. Not just by what we don't do, but by the measure of love within our hearts that prompts us to have an alert mind, a controlled temperament, a faith-filled priority, and a loving relationship. Holiness. That's what I long for in my life, that I might be like Jesus. And I want to respond to this by a prayer, a song. And it's really a guitar song, so I asked permission of Barbara if I could play guitar and do our closing song. It's a very simple song. We do it a lot in this in the second service. Holiness. Holiness is what I long for. This is really a prayer. Take my heart and form it. Let's stand together. I think you probably know this. If you've never heard it, it's very easy to catch on, catch up. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness is what you want me. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, transform it. Do yours. Faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness. What I need. Faithfulness is what you want me. My heart and form it. Take my mind and transform. Take my will, conform it to yours, to yours, to yours. Brokenness, break my heart, O God. Brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness. What I need. Brokenness is what you want from me. Take my heart and form it.
Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, to yours. Take my heart, and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, to yours, oh, to yours. To yours, Lord. To yours, to yours, Lord.
Oh Lord, we do pray that you would take our hearts and form them to be like your own heart. Take our minds and transform them, renewing them after your image. Fashion our wills, that we might will what you will, that we might do what you call us to do, that we might be who you call us to be. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that enables us to go against the flow of this world, to go against the fashion even of our former way of life, that we might not be conformed, but transformed. Fill us, we pray, that we might be a blessing to you and to others for Jesus' sake and the sake of your name. Now go with us in peace. Fill our hearts with that peace that passes all understanding, now, today, and forever. Amen.